Welcome to the Tech Savvy Professor Podcast, two faculty who love tech and love making it part of their work. I'm Marty Gentius from Kent State University.
And I'm Eric Perry from Southern New Hampshire University.
So, Eric, it's been a couple of weeks. You were doing your residency and had spring break and all sorts of things going on. So what's new in your tech world?
You know, not a lot. I wish there was more, to be honest. I've been working on some video editing for a couple of different lecture components for a course I'm working on. So that's been kind of fun getting back into Premiere and trying to figure out what it is I remember. And I've been trying out a few different things with Canva and CapCut just to add some fun without the Premiere level kind of work. Yeah. So that's been cool. But in terms of hardware, I feel like my travel setup is finally in a good place. And I enjoyed using that over the last couple of weeks as I've been kind of running around and doing the whole spring break and clinical training thing.
Well, you know, it was spring break last week for me, and I had nothing to do but spend money, but really had nothing to spend it on. The iPads are still not out. I guess I was the guy in the store was right when I said they're coming out next week. And he looked at me and he goes, really? And now they've been even further delayed. So I am iPadless in probably the longest period of time in my life. I have been working on WordPress because there are a couple of sites that I'm working on that I need to recreate on a different platform. I had done them with RapidWeaver, and I liked RapidWeaver for a long time, but now it's gotten so klutzy with plugins and every time, you know, I only have to open it up once every 6 months. And when I open it up, it never starts because it needs new plugins or things have to be updated and blah, blah, blah. And so I wanted to go to a more flexible platform and went to Weebly, and I've done a lot of stuff on Weebly. And now that Squarespace has bought them, it's a real blank show. You can buy a domain, but it's not really connected to buying an account. And if you want to have web hosting, you have to kind of go in through a different door. And yada. And so I finally gave up. And I thought I'd try Wix, rather. Mm-hmm. And Wix prices were expensive in terms of that. So I decided to go with WordPress only because I kind of feel that's the platform of choice. And that's what people are learning now. But I know absolutely nothing about it. I mean, I can kind of intuitively work my way through. But the thing I'm seeing with all these different website places is they're all geared towards businesses. And have you got something to sell? Right. So they want to give you a store. And frankly, I just want it for information purposes. And the templates don't suit those very well. So I'm working with blank templates on WordPress. And really, it's not as intuitive as a lot of other sites. And so I'm trying to work out columns and things like that. So I'll get the site up. I need to get out. It won't look pretty, but it doesn't need to. It's information I need to get out on the listservs that I run. So yeah.
I loved WordPress. I mean, that's what, not the current site, but the previous site that Aces ran was on WordPress.
Right.
I like the flexibility in it. It's not as intuitive. But you know, it's once you get used to it, I felt like there was a lot more ability to manipulate and work within it rather than relying on plugins and templates and really being boxed out. My brother-in-law started a business a couple of years ago and wanted a refresh on his website and went in and developed a Wix site that looks fantastic. And for him, it's great. He needs his business information. He needs a store platform to pay. And it's been a really useful tool for him, but it's pricey because you don't have to do much to make it look professional and decent. But you know, the focus really is on that buy and sell part. You did make me think of something though, Marty, that I feel like I need to share. It's not my tech thing, but it's something I ordered for my wife yesterday. thanks to TikTok. And it is a page turner remote control for her reader, for her Kindle. So it's a remote control, and she has a like an arm on the side of her bed that holds her reader, and she can click the button and it turns the pages for her.
Can't she just reach over and swipe?
No, there's no reach and swipe. You just click the button from in the bed and you don't have to
reach out. Yeah, but I mean, without the remote control, it doesn't, like, there's a little arrow figure on the side and you press it and it goes to the next page?
The whole idea is you don't have to get out from under the blanket to turn your page and read. You don't even have to hold your reader.
Shouldn't she just go to bed at that point?
You would think, but I was pretty enamored with it. It's such a simple little thing.
Okay, like, so does she wake up with her hand still clutching the remote control? I mean,
yeah, and she's probably not going to love me telling everybody this, but I have watched her fall asleep holding the reader and have it kind of fall forward and hit her in the head. Because it's like falling asleep with a book like that, but, you know. We thought it was neat, and I decided to get it for her because she reads literally every day.
Yeah. My other investment this week is I'm going to ACA, American Counseling Association, in New Orleans, and I'm taking my Apple Vision Pro, and I'm going to watch movies on the flight and have a great time. I was a little concerned about battery, and so I bought myself a power bank. And it was a Basus, BASEUS, and it's a power bank, 20,000 milliamps, 100 watts, which is, I guess, the limit that you can bring on an airplane. You can't get anything higher than 100 watts for some reason. And it's a portable charger. And the thing, it's a little bit more expensive. You can get cheaper versions of these things, but I really want the digital display that tells me what percentage is left over. I don't want four dots. I don't want nothing at all. I want to know where I am with this. And this is just to kind of piggyback on the battery that I have with my Apple Vision Pro. It's basically 5 by 5 by 7/10 of an inch. So it's thin and small, and I can pack it in the bag with me. This last week, apparently, Apple Vision Pro has had a conference in China. Now, China doesn't even have it yet, but supposedly, but they were having a conference on Apple Vision Pro because there's a piece of software called InSpaz, InSpaze, that is an Apple Vision Pro software. It basically creates a meeting room for you. It's like an apartment with pillows, you know. It's got games in the middle. It's got, you can put your own pictures up on the wall. It's got 9 album covers, and you can switch that out with Apple Music, and you can have songs playing that you want. It's a pretty cool setup. And I found it, and all I did was sit in my room, and all these folks from China were coming in to visit because my room was open and public. So it was a very weird, but very positive experience. On other platforms, what happens is I've got a 14-year-old kid swearing at me and, you know, telling me how stupid I am and doing his male bravado. This is, you know, the only people that can come in are people who have, you know, $3,500 headsets. So the adults are in the room. And somebody from Saudi Arabia, somebody from England, somebody from the U.S., and it was really fun. It was the best social experience I've had like that on the platform. So my spring break was checking in with my international friends who had the headset. But they were apparently having a conference because these folks would drop in and you'd hear all this party noise in the background. Well, not party, but it was booths or whatever they had set up, and different people would put the headset on, and some of them spoke, well, they all spoke Mandarin Chinese, but there's a translator on it, so it has the text that comes up underneath the floating head.
I was just gonna ask about that.
And they were getting my translation apparently in my broken Chicago English. So it was fun. That was fun. That was probably the fun part. My son just finished his dissertation and defended his dissertation yesterday. So that was a big experience for us over this last week and getting ready for that. So it's been cool. It's been a kind of a cool week. Lots of work pressure, but lots of other things.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's huge.
Yep. Yep. So he'll walk across the stage and I just got informed I will be faculty marshal. So I'll be up on stage when he graduates, which will be
that's
very
great.
Cool. So we're here to talk about watches. I mean, that's the title of the podcast.
We kind of walked our way through a few things, I guess.
Yeah, I know. And we're going to do this quick and easy. So why don't you go ahead and tell me a little bit about your experience with watches?
Yeah, so I like my Galaxy Watch. It's something I feel like is helpful, particularly when I'm teaching live or even teaching synchronously online. I can take a quick glance at it. Tells me what's going on with my phone without kind of having it up in my face. I don't use it as much for the features that the fitness features and those kind of things, but it is helpful. It'll give me a shout when my heart rate is too high, particularly when I'm reading emails from my university at the current time. I'll see those heart rates spike. So it's pretty interesting to have. It does have some weird features that are some weird design change elements that I'm not a fan of between the 5 and the 6 for the Galaxy models. Because it's slimmed down a good bit and where they've decided to put the buttons, if you're a left-handed, you wear your watch on your left, the buttons are toward your wrist. So if you bend your wrist up towards you, you end up hitting those buttons. So they're physical buttons on the side. So that'll activate the watch or it'll activate the menu.
Can't you change that in the setup of the watch?
No, there's not a way. I mean, you can flip it around and then flip the screen. But it won't, you can't with the band the way it is. So you have to get a different band in order to flip it and then virtually flip the screen. So if I wear it on my right, it's not as bad. But even just moving your arm in a particular way with the buttons facing outward, because they're so close to the bottom of the watch, they'll tend to hit on your skin and activate. They're very sensitive. So something that kind of bothered me. Other than that, it, in terms of working with the Galaxy stuff, is great. You get preview images of your texts, your messages, your email notifications. The screen is really clean and bright. I've really enjoyed using it otherwise. I want to get the 6 upgrade, but the design is pretty much the same. So I haven't made that shift yet, but I went from the 4 to the 5 a couple of months ago. The other one I wanted to talk about, just because a friend had kind of shared their experience with me, is the Pixel Watch. And I know, Marty, you had a Pixel Watch too for a little bit, right?
Yeah, I fell from grace and bought a Pixel Fold. And what came with it, because I wanted to try the foldable technology. And what came with it was a free watch. And actually, I like the watch. There was a simplicity about it without all the complications that I don't use on my Apple watches. But and it did the things that I needed. It told me time. It did messages. It let me know messages coming in. Of course, I had to be on a different messaging system and had to parallel that with the system on my phone, my Apple phone, and that number. And it was kind of a complicated setup to work both platforms at the same time. But it did everything I wanted to do. It was light. It was, I liked the functionality of it for what I needed it for. It was, I think, harder to give up the watch than it was to give up the phone.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what I'm hearing about the watch. It felt a lot more comfortable, just in terms of the way the face felt on my wrist. Didn't feel heavy or cumbersome or unwieldy. The screen size was still good and it was clear enough to be able to see everything. I didn't get to wear it for a long time. Just a friend kind of handed it to me and said, hey, try it on, see what you think.
I heard that, you know, people who bought the Pixel Watch but had a Samsung phone, they had to use the Samsung app, and it, you know, so doing even that cross setup was complicated for folks.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of the features work the same way because you're not in the Google ecosystem. So a lot of the fitness tracker kind of stuff that lives in that Google ecosystem doesn't work in the same way. The watch can do some things on its own, just like the Samsung watch can do things on its own without needing that kind of, you know, an actual Samsung phone. But if it's not run through that app, you miss out on some of those, the integration on some of those features. I know there's two versions that are still out there to buy. There's the Google Watch, the first version, and then the two is out. The one I got to play with was the two. And honestly, I was a fan. If I had ever moved to a Pixel phone, it would definitely be an option for me. So I just thought it was neat. Those are the two I've probably had the most experience with. I've tried some kind of off-brand smartwatches in the past, but nothing that really I would sell or keep or recommend to anybody, at least at this point.
Well, as I mentioned, I tried the Pixel Watch. I had been in the Apple ecosystem and had previous Apple watches before that. I think I had I didn't have Gen 0. I had Gen 1 of the watch, and we're on 10? We're on 9. As far as the regular watch goes, and we're into the Ultra, we're on the second generation of Ultras. So yeah, I like I said, I enjoy the Pixel Watch. I being not tied into the Android system and being in the Google system didn't seem to affect me that much. You know, I had the Pixel Fold and I had the Google Pixel Watch, and that those worked fine together. However, primarily what I'm using are Apple Watches. I have an Apple Watch 9, which is Bluetooth and wireless. I did not get the cellular on it. And the cellular meaning I could use the watch to call where my phone is not with me. Or if it's too, you know, my phone is shut off, or if I'm in the store, whatever. So in order for me to call somebody, the phone has to be with me, and that pairing works. So I got the Watch 9th edition, which is the current edition until they come out with something in the fall. And prior to that, I had an Ultra 1. And the Ultra 1 had cellular. And the reason I didn't get it was because I didn't get the watch, the 9th edition, with cellular, was because I wasn't using that function much on the Ultra, and my phone was always with me anyways, along with the watch. So what I like about the 9th edition watch, the Series 9, is it's light. The Ultra is bulky. It's, you know, it's got titanium or tungsten housing, whereas the 9th Series 9 has aluminum. And so there's quite a bit of weight difference. You know, it's a much bigger watch. Mine is the 9 series that I have is 44 millimeters. The Ultra 2 is 49 millimeters. And so greater size battery, more to power, but also more weight to the whole thing. And if you have a teeny tiny itty bitty wrist, it's not going to help you to have this big clunker on you. My wife has a Series 8 watch, I think. And you were talking about directionality in terms of where the buttons are.
Right.
And this drives me nuts. Aileen actually flipped the watch and put it on her left wrist, which would be appropriate, but she put the crown and the buttons, because she flipped the watch, in towards her elbow instead of out towards her wrist. And so when something goes wrong with it, it's like, can you look at this, or I need you to do this, or why isn't it doing this? And it's sort of like, I've got an upside down watch. I don't know how to push the buttons to make it work. But she did that because her small wrist was hitting the crown all the time. And she has a very, very small wrist. She has the smallest band. I have the largest band that they sell in order to fit on my wrist. What do I use them for? Well, telling time. I come from that generation growing up that we had wristwatches, and those disappeared with cell phones, but they're comfortable to just tell time. I also get messages that pop up. There was a time where the watch was set up so people in meetings couldn't see what was going on in your watch, and that was kind of nice. You could tilt it up, and it would light up and tell you what the message was. But it's a little bit more discreet than picking up a phone and looking at your messages, but people have gotten less discreet these days. So messages, I use them to unlock my computers. There is a setting that you can do on the watch and with your computer when it recognizes the watch interface and you have it on, that it will automatically unlock your computer once you set that up, if the watch is in proximity to it and it's gone dark. So that's kind of nice. People who are sleep fanatics, you know, and wear them to bed, I tried that for about a week, and it was like, oh, here's a surprise. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, according to my watch. Well, I could have told you that because I feel like crap this morning. You know, and what do I do with that data? Sleep better? So I didn't know what to do with the data. I wasn't going to track the data. Same thing with fitness tracking. You know I haven't done enough steps today, and whatever that means to people, it means to people. Luckily, I don't have this connection to data or accomplishing things for the sake of that gamification of doing stuff. Otherwise, I would be losing all my money at the poker table. There's nothing thrilling about. I get no endorphin rush from those kinds of successes. So, I again, basically, it's text messages. It's sometimes email. I can get email on it, and I'll see that there's an icon that says I've got an email and I'm curious about it. Sometimes I make calls, use it and paired with my watch, use it paired with my phone for directions and for being able to drive. And the haptic action in the watch tells me turns and when I'm going to do turns. Of course, it's on my screen with CarPlay anyways, but it's another piece that I use it for. But that's about it. I put some games on it, figuring, well, maybe I can play some games during graduation. I mean, the graduation ceremonies that I have to sit through. Yeah. I won't be able to do that this time with my son. I'm always afraid that some reporter's going to catch a picture of me sitting there playing on my watch during the graduation speeches. So
all I can think of right now is the scene from the Avengers where they walk in and they're running the airship and there's this huge crew, and Tony Stark says, "That guy's playing Galaga. We see you." <It's like laughs> running the console. He's actually secretly playing Galaga. He's not doing anything important. That's all I can think of right now. I'd like the NFC feature too, the wallet.
Yeah.
You know, but it got kind of weird sticking your arm through the drive-thru window at McDonald's to buy nuggets for your kids. You know, they thought it was neat. And all I could think about was that my arm is in the drive-thru window of McDonald's right now.
I use one app called Stocard, STOCARD, and you could put all those obnoxious little cards that stores give you for whatever reason to track what you're putting in your stomach. Yeah. You can put them on this app, and you go in and you hit it, you push down and you pick the one that you want, and you hold the thing up and it's got the card. They scan it. I love it because I don't have to pull anything out of my wallet. There's nothing on my keychain anymore. I don't even have to take my phone off out of my pocket to do it. That's probably the app that I use the most.
Yeah, pretty neat. I did want to mention Garmin. Garmin has made some smartwatches. I've never got to try one. I don't know if they're listening. I'd be more than willing to test one out. you know, the reviews are just kind of middle of the way. I mean, some of them started out really expensive. They've come down in price, but they're still, for the newest version of the Garmin's, around $300, which is, you know, more than you would pay for the 5 or 6 of the Samsung Galaxy. They look more rugged, like they could take a little bit more abuse. But from the desks I sit behind, I don't know that that matters so much to me.
Well, I don't know what we're going to talk about next time. I sent some ideas. We decided on watches this time. I'll be in New Orleans, so we'll have to see whether or not we can work out a time to do the recording. But I think that wraps it up for watches for us.
Yeah.
Okay. I like them. I think people should have them. Of course, I'm old school. But, you know, people will find different purposes for it. They didn't know what the Apple Watch was going to do until people started using it for fitness. Now it's a fitness device. Right. And if you ever meet me face to face, you'll realize I am not a fitness device. But, you know, people, it found its niche. So next show, we'll figure out what we're going to do and when we're going to do it. And we're glad that you've joined us to listen to the Tech Savvy Professor. You can email us at thepodtalknetwork@gmail.com or call and leave a message at 330-333-1240. And we'll play your question on the podcast and try and get an answer for you if you have any questions or comments. Our bumper music is from Philip Gross, Rast, from the Free Music Archive. Everything you need to know is at techsavvyprofessor.net. And yeah, that is a WordPress site. So that's my second entry into WordPress. You can find us by searching Apple Podcasts for the Tech Savvy Professor. Look for us on Spotify, TuneIn, and other sources for podcasts. Look for other shows like Circular Firing Squad on thepodtalk.net. That's it for today's show. Thanks for subscribing to the Tech Savvy Professor podcast.